Welcome to class. Before we begin, any comments, questions, or other things for me? Yes. The split method for strings, how does it work? If I have a string, which is A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, X. Let's just pick a random string here. If I take a string and I were to split it, S dot split, I have to say what I want to split it around. What do you want me to split it around? A, okay. It doesn't have to be a single letter, but it can be. I split around A. What does this do? This is going to result in a string array. Okay? And what's going to be put in that string array in memory? It's going to be an array of strings. How many A's are there in this? I think there are 3 A's, so it's going to have an array of 4 strings. The first one is going to be everything before the first A, which is nothing at all. The second one is going to be what's between the first and second, which is B, C, D, E, F, G. Sorry, I'm running out of space. I should have planned this more carefully. The next one is also going to be B, C, D, E, F, G. And the last one is going to be everything after the last string, which is B, X. That said, do you have a question about this? Or did I answer the question by drawing this? If you were to print out T, T is an array. And when you print an array, you get nonsense. You would get, it would look something like square bracket java.lang.string. I think there's actually a capital L here. @, and then some random looking sequence of letters and digits. Something like that. Because you can't print arrays very well. But if you were to look at array, so T sub 2, for example, that would be the string B, C, D, E, F, G. Okay? So if you have an array, you almost always want to use subscripts, use square brackets to get at particular elements out of the array. Very rarely do you want to talk about the array as a whole, except to get its length. Sam?
What is an array?
What is an array? Is a list of things all of the same type, as we've talked about the last couple of classes. And we'll talk a little bit more about it today. Yes? How would you split a big array into two smaller arrays? I'm not sure I know what you mean.
So like, say, like, take T sub 2 and T sub 3.
And split it into another array as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so that would, I mean, if I want to split T sub 2, I take T sub 2. And I split it.
No, not like literally split it, like just take them and put them in their own array.
Oh, like take the first half of the array in one array, the second half of the array in another. Okay. So I would need to make two arrays. I could make a string array A and a string array B. Okay. I need to decide how big they are, so make them new arrays. Or I could do it this way. Let's do it this way. We could say this is going to be T sub 0. T sub 1, there's this, the first half array, and then I could do T sub 2, T sub 3, that. So B sub 0 is the same thing as T sub 2. Yes. Literally the same thing, as in if I were to draw the B array, its first pointer is going to point to the same spot in memory, and this one will point to that other spot in memory, right? There is only one copy of that string, because it didn't make a new string. I'm not sure if I answered your question, because I'm not really sure what the question was. Okay, good. Other questions? Okay. So today we're going to talk just a little bit more about arrays. We're going to finish up talking about arrays today. We'll talk a little about array list, and then we'll also talk a little, sort of get a little bit of introduction to what we're going to talk about next week with methods and hints about how to make that work well. That's a place where people frequently get lost in this course, and we like to try to prevent that. So let's finish up with arrays. A question we received when we first introduced arrays a week ago, week and a half ago, whenever it was can you have an array where the things inside the array are more arrays? And you can. So just like I can make an int array, I can also make an int array. There is no special magical meaning to having an array of arrays, but it can get confusing looking at all the square brackets. So we're going to sort of walk through a little bit about this. There's a few reasons to do that. These sort of arrays solve lots of interesting problems, and we'll talk briefly about a few of those. But it also helps make sure you actually understand what's going on with an array. So if I were to make this be a new int 3, and let's make this be a new int 2, 3. And we'll sort of compare what these two things mean. So in memory, I'm going to have x. X is going to talk about an array of three things. And all of those things are ints, so they get initialized to 0. Because when we make an array, the things inside of it get initialized to 0, false, or null, unless we tell otherwise. So 0 for numbers. Y also talks about an array. Okay. There are two things in the array, and each one of those things is itself an array of three things. And those things are arrays of ints. And so after these two lines of code, this is approximately what memory looks like. X talks about an array of three things. Y talks about an array of two things where those things are arrays of three things. And given that we have this, everything else just sort of follows more or less naturally, right? So I could say x sub 0 equals 7, which is going to replace what's in x sub 0 with a 7. And I can likewise say x sub 1 sub 2 equals 8, which is going to replace the thing in x's 1's positions, 2's position, with an 8. And anything else I might hope to do with these, I can do as well. Comments or questions about this basic idea before we look at a few of the interesting bits? Okay. There's actually one more thing that I want to see here, which is that I can also do something like y sub 0 equals x. Okay, so y is an array of arrays, x is an array, therefore y could contain x as one of its elements, which would cause y's 0th element to point to the same thing that x points to. So I can change under the hood what's going on, and we just have to sort of follow the boxes, right? A number in square brackets means goes to that cell of the array and do whatever else is happening to that cell. So if I've got two things in square brackets, I go to one cell, and then from that cell I go to another cell. If I just have one, I'm talking about the cell itself. So we can combine subscripts like this if we have what is commonly called a 2D array, or an array of arrays. Any questions? All right, then what we're going to do now is, let's suppose I have an int array named x, and it is equal to something. It's been initialized in some way. Okay? And the question I want to ask is, how many elements R in X. Okay? How many things are there in X? This is the question. I would like you to come up with some possible Java code that might just tell us how many elements are in X. So turn to whoever's sitting next to you, or if you don't like the people sitting next to you, then just turn to yourself and discuss this idea, okay? What can we do to figure out how many elements are in X? Talk about this for a moment, and we'll come back and talk about the ideas. Okay, any ideas? How many elements are there in X? Surely somebody has a thought. No one has a thought. Okay, you are all talking, so what are some things that aren't the right answer? Let's talk about that. Okay? Yes? X.length. Why is x.length not the right answer? Yeah, so x.length is going to tell me, in this example here, it would tell me these two, the two things that are inside the first layer. Okay, so we have x.length, probably not what we want. Yes?
Maybe you can do like sort of while so long as I is less than x.length, and then just get the length of x bracket I.
Okay, so some combination of a for loop while I is less than x.length, get the length of x bracket I. Whew. What does that mean? Okay. So the idea here is, okay, there's a bunch of things in our array, right? We have these two things in this example. For each of them, let's figure out how long it is. Okay, and that will sort of tell us how many things there are in it. Okay, a reasonable approach. We'll actually look at that in a moment here. Other ideas? Yeah?
Do a while x dot has an x
name. Ah, okay. How about while x dot has next int? And then we're going to do some sort of count plus plus. Right? Increase some count. Is that what we were thinking?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
If you do x dot length times x sub 0.
Ooh, x dot length times x sub 0 dot length. What will that tell me?
It's the number of ints in each in the array x times the number of ints in each of those arrays.
Yeah, so we can sort of think of this. If we want to, this right here tells me ints per, I'm going to call it row, okay? And this sort of tells me the number of rows. If we want to think of these as rows or inner arrays or whatever you want to call it. Multiply them together, we should be good. Other ideas? Okay, we've got four up here. Let's just take a quick poll. Okay? So, how many of you think the first one could be interpreted as the number of elements in X? The first one, x.length, could be the right answer. Apparently I'm the only one. Okay, how about the for loop? We could get the right answer with the for loop. Wow, like 10 people. Okay, how about with the while loop? We could use the while loop to do it. About 20 maybe, and how about the multiplication? The multiplication work. Ooh, that's the winning combination. All right, let's talk about these. Part of the problem here is, what do we mean by element? Okay? One way of thinking about the elements of X is that the elements of X are arrays, and that there are x.length elements of X. And so in that interpretation, where the element is not a number, it's an array, the first one could be correct. That's probably an unusual interpretation of element, but you will hear it occasionally, okay? But again, that'll just tell me sort of how many arrays are there, usually not what I want, but if that's what I want, that's the answer. The for loop. The for loop will work. The for loop will always work. Okay? We add up how many ints are there in every one of the arrays inside. We'll end up with the right thing. We need to do a little bit more than I wrote down here. Okay? We need to do some sort of count plus equals right in there. And of course, we need to start I at something and do it. So we need an I equals 0, and we need an I plus plus I over here, right, to make the for loop work. But this approach will successfully count how many things are in every array and how many array for all the arrays, and will always give us the right answer. So this one is just a big solid check mark. Let's jump down to the last one, then we'll come back up to the while loop. The last one is a faster way of doing the for loop if all of the arrays are the same length. And usually that's true. If they're all the same length, we call it a rectangular array. And that will work for rectangular arrays. It will not work for non-rectangular arrays. So for example, if we look back here when we said y sub 0 equals x, we could have said y sub 0 equals new int 7 and made one of the rows different length than the other. Okay? But that's a fairly unusual thing to do. The while loop, though, just will not work. Why won't it work? Yes?
Because you're asking the array of arrays for an integer, and it can only give you an array.
Okay, so the array of arrays can only give me arrays, not integers. This is a fair statement. We can get even more, it won't work than that. Okay, arrays have no methods. There is no method at all in array, and therefore, in particular, there is no hasNextInt in an array. Can't be done. You can't say hasNextInt. You can't say hasNextIntArray. You can't say hasAnything. You can't use any methods on arrays. They've got length. They've got square brackets. The end. That's all they've got. Okay? So it's tempting to say, oh, we'll treat it like a scanner because it's like a scanner, and it's just not. The only thing like a scanner is a scanner. Everything else is unlike scanners and does not have scanner methods. Okay? So it's a common thing to think you can do, and you just can't. And we'll talk about another kind of list here in a moment. You can't do it there either. You just can't use hasNext on things other than scanners. Okay. Two more little bits and pieces here. It is legal to make an int array. Perfectly okay to declare such a thing, which is a list of lists of lists of lists of lists of numbers. Okay? Do you ever want to? Probably not, but you can. You can also make, for example, a string array. Okay, we can make as many of these things as we want with as many dimensions as we want. And we can do weird things like w sub 1 sub 3 equals new int 1, 2, 3. Okay, as long as the number of square brackets adds up, it's okay. But we just never do this. Why do I mention it? If you can think about this and sort of walk through what would happen in a string array, then you get arrays. If you get confused by a string array, there's probably some little piece of what's going on in arrays that hasn't quite sunk in yet. So it's sort of a way of checking how well you get this concept. And if it seems a little confusing, I would suggest drawing boxes, right? If you look at a string array, and you think, I don't know what this looks like, I would suggest actually drawing on paper a box and saying, okay, it must be pointing to an array. And then each one of those things must be pointing to an array. And each one of those things must be pointing to an array. Okay? And trying to draw all the arrows and see how messy and ugly it gets, and then see what the square brackets do. I would encourage you to do that. Thus, you will not be as uglily surprised when you don't remember what arrays do on the next exam. Questions? Okay, one other thing about arrays. In particular about these 2D arrays, these arrays of arrays. Arrays of arrays are commonly used to represent grids. Okay? So if I have some grid it's common to sort of take each row or each column and treat it as an array, right? So I treat this here as an array, and this one is an array, and so on. And then I make an array of arrays that tells me what all my arrays were. And thus I can encode a grid. Grids are wildly popular. Grids are used all over the place for real problems. The CSV files we've been dealing with, you can think of them as grids. Right? A number of lines, each line has a number of columns. It's a way of encoding a grid. One of the most common kinds of grids that we encounter in computing is pictures. If I want to represent a picture, like a smiling person, the way my computer actually encodes the picture is by filling in some arbitrary subset of these pixels in a grid. And this is going to be a very ugly looking smiling person. Okay, because I didn't make enough pixels. But all images you see on web browser or phone or any other digital device are made up of this really big array of colors under the hood. And by showing all the colors in tiny little boxes, it starts to look like a picture. We may possibly come back and do a little bit with pictures later on. We may not. We haven't made up our mind yet. But they're there, they're very common, they're used for matrices, so if you do any kind of engineering, you'll probably bump into a matrix at least once in your life. Matrices are usually dealt with as arrays of arrays. They're just a very common piece of computing. So we wanted to show you what they look like. With that, I am planning to be done with arrays and never come back to them. Well, almost never. So, any parting questions about arrays or arrays of arrays? Yes?
Is there a way that you can so is there a way, in the homework that you get a lot of text and you have to split it, by the semicolon?
Correct.
Is there a method that you can do where you can split a string into different strings without eliminating a character like a semicolon?
Can you do that? Can we split a line of text without eliminating the thing we split based on? Yes. The way that Java provides for us to do this requires something called regular expressions, which are this own little sub-language that can be used inside strings for certain aspects, and is a little bit more complicated than we planned. It would probably take a full lecture just to to explain what they are. So there is a technique built into Java. It's not obvious how it works. You could also just do it with a for loop. Okay, so we could just write a loop. Let's write that loop. Why not? Let's write that loop. Okay, so let's suppose I have a string. That didn't work very well. Here's a string. Hooray! Okay, I should give it a name. And let's suppose I want to split this string based on some character in it. Okay? What do we want to split it based on? Let's split based on 4. Okay? So we're going to split around 4 and keep the 4s. That's our goal. We could just use split and we would be good, but we want to keep the 4s. Okay? So we know that the output of this is going to be a string array. And it's going to have to be a new string array of some size. How big should it be? So unclear. We're going to just figure it out manually here. We'll talk about how to figure it out later. Okay. So if we need to keep the 4s and the thing on either side of the 4, how many 4s do we have? We have 1, 2, 3 4s. So we need 3 4s, and then it looks like just 2 things in between them, so we're going to say 5. Okay. If we were really writing this code, we need to have some programmatic way of figuring it out. But for now, we're just going to magically know the number. Okay? And now what we just need to do is we need to walk through every position in our string, see if it's a 4, and decide whether we're putting it into an existing string or we're putting it into the list. So we're going to make a string I'll call this between. We're going to need to keep track of how much stuff we've seen between two fours. You know, I should really make this 7 to match more what split does. We'll come back to why in a moment. So I'm going to keep track of what I've seen between two fours as I go along. And then I'm going to make a for loop, which is going to look at every character. Okay. I'm going to get a character. And then the question is this a 4 or is this not a 4? If it's a 4, then it's a delimiter. We want to split. If it's not, we don't. So we're going to say if C is a 4, then what? If it is a 4, then whatever I've got so far as between goes into my array. So I'm actually going to need a new int here. Okay. Let's say int t index, and we'll see why we need this in a moment. This may have been a bad idea to do this. Meh, we'll see. All right, so what I'm going to say is if I see a 4, then I'm going to make t at the t index is going to be whatever I currently have from between two strings. And then I'm going to say t after that is going to be a 4, and I'm going to increase the t index by 2. Otherwise, I'm going to take between and add to it C. Oh, I need to reset between here too. Okay. Horribly ugly. This is approximately what split is doing. So let's just sort of walk through what this does. It's ugly. I know it's ugly. But let's just walk through it. Okay? So as I look at this, I make an array. Initially, everything in the array is null, because when I make an array, everything goes in null initially. Okay? And then I'm going to look at every character. If I get a 4, I'm going to say that's the end of whatever piece of string I was dealing with before. So what was I dealing with before? It was the between thing. So I'm going to put that into my array. I finished that, right? So this might, for example, I'm reading along, and I may have read 3, 5, right? So I'm going to put that 3, 5 into my array. I'm also going to put the 4 that was after it into my array, because I just found a 4. And then I'm going to start over counting. Otherwise, I'm going to add to my string. So this is going to... I don't know if I can explain this well. I shouldn't have gone down this road. Okay. This is what split does. You can write it as a loop. There's a regular expression built into the language, but it's kind of weird to use because we don't know regular expressions. Splitting is doing a bunch of weird stuff. This is what it's doing. If this makes sense to you, great. If not, I'm sorry we wasted your time on this. I don't think I'm going to be able to explain it in the time I have today and still get to other material. Sorry. Questions? Great. All right. Other questions about arrays? Sorry about that. I should know better than to answer questions in class. Okay. There's a big problem with arrays. A really big problem with arrays. Arrays cannot change size. This problem by itself causes people headache. It causes them so much headache that Java decided to add a different kind of list other than array. Okay? So because arrays cannot change size, and for a few other reasons as well, actually, there is something called an array list. Array lists act a lot like arrays, but they can change size. But arrays are built right into Java, and array lists were added after the fact, and so they look different. Okay? So let's just talk about some sort of comparisons. So let's suppose I have a string array. Okay? To make an array list of strings, I need the type is array list of string. Where these things here are supposed to look like angle brackets, not L's and 7's. Java has this idea of you can make a type of something that has angle brackets, less than greater than signs, around the type. And so this is, both of these say I've got a list of strings. One is an array of strings. The other one is an array list of strings. Okay? Once I make one, with S, I use square brackets to get at stuff. With T, I'm going to use some methods. T is an object. It does not have square brackets. It just has methods. Arrays don't have methods. Array lists do. Okay? And so we have to handle each of the things we want to do within a list using methods for an array list, where we would have just used square brackets to do it all. If we were using an array instead. So if we look at the lecture notes for today, I have created a little mapping between arrays and array lists. You're welcome to look at this, lecture notes 19. I'm just going to walk through it, then we'll see a little bit of code example of how we can use it. So I make an array, square brackets. I make an array list, angle brackets. One more thing to note. You cannot put a primitive type inside angle brackets. Can't do it. Java is weird that way. So if you want a primitive, int, double, boolean, etc., you have to make them capitalized and spell them out in full in order to get them into an array list. A weird incongruity within the language, and there it is. I wish they had not designed the language this way, but they did, and so that's what we're left with. To make an array, I tell it how big it's going to be. Array lists, though, always start empty. So I make a new array list, more like I make a new scanner, write new, the type, and parentheses. But I don't give it a size. I just put empty parentheses. Even if I put a number in the parentheses, it still won't be the size of a list. Lists always start out empty, which would be a problem if they are fixed size, but we can change their size later. Okay? The basic array operations we still have, okay? So square brackets and length are there. Instead of square bracket equals, we have dot set. Instead of equals square bracket, we have dot get. So we can get and set the elements of the array using indexes starting at 0, just the same as arrays do. And instead of dot length with no parentheses, we have dot size with parentheses, making three ways to find the lengths of something. If it is an array list, use dot size. If it is an array, use dot length. If it is a string, use dot length with parentheses. And again, I wish somebody had thought about this in advance and made just one name for it. But there are three names, three different ways of getting the length, and you have to use the right one for the type of thing you're dealing with. So far, this is just mapping. Why would we bother? We bother because of the stuff that's impossible to do with arrays, but you can do with array lists. We can add elements to array lists. If we just call add with a number, it'll go at the end of the list. If you call add with an index and a number, we can insert it into the middle of the list and push everything else farther back. We can remove elements from an array list. Say, I don't want this thing in the list anymore. We can either do that by saying the index we want to have removed or the value we want to have removed. And here's another weird thing. Again, ints don't act nicely in lists, so we have to make this capital I integer to make that happen. There's one thing that arrays can do that arrays can't, which is we can instantiate them all in one line. Make an array with values all in one line. You can't do that with an array list. But we can do other things. We can print them out and they look pretty. We can check to see if they contain something. We can find out where some value is inside of them. Okay? We can ask them questions. They have methods, things they can do to make our life easier. So we learn about arrays because they're simple and because they're built into Java and they show up all over the place. We learn about array lists because they're useful and nice to us, and we actually use them to solve problems a lot more often. Any questions so far? Okay. Let's just glance at what this would look like in code. So let's make ourselves an array list of strings. I'll call it list. Let's print it out. and print out our list. And we will see square brackets. When we print a list, it actually shows us what's inside, surrounded by square brackets. There's nothing in this list so far. So it prints out nothing surrounded by square brackets. But I can add to my list. I can add, how about the word hi to my list? Okay. And I can add the word bye to my list. And if I then print it again, I will see that they have come into the list. And it shows them in a nice, pretty fashion. I can change the length of the list. I can remove things. I can add them. I can see if they are there, right? So I could, for example, print out if the list contains hi. And it will say false because I spelled it with a capital hi, where I added a lowercase hi. But we can find out if something is there. We can find out where it is if it is there. We can move things around and remove them and so on. They're much more flexible structures. One of the things you will use ArrayList for most likely in the current homework is in dealing with the student ratio. Because in the student ratio, you want to count each professor only once. Which means that what you're going to want to do is something along the lines of, if I have a string professor, which equals, oh, which professor shall we make fun of today? How about Bloomfield? Because there's two of them, so neither of them can get mad at me. So we have some professor, right? And we want to say, if the list contains the professor, actually, if it does not contain the professor, if I can spell contains correctly, if it does not contain the professor, then I'm going to add the professor. Okay? This tiny little piece of code will keep me from ever adding a professor twice. Okay? So as I go along in this approach and I add several different professors, right? So I add Professor Bloomfield and I add Professor Sheriff. Okay? And I add Professor Bloomfield again. The first Bloomfield will make it in, but the second Bloomfield won't. And so we could see that this does not normally happen. Let's add hi in twice, and then let's print out our list. Oops. Okay. So I can see that this adds Bloomfield and Sheriff, but it does not add Bloomfield a second time. So if I don't know how many unique professors they are, I add them only if they aren't in there. And then when I'm done, I just take the size of the list. And it'll tell me how many individuals I added. So there's lots of these kinds of issues that are easier to solve if I can remember what I've done so far. If I have a list of all the input I've considered, I can make decisions based on whether I've seen something before or how it compares to other things or so on. Questions? Okay. So ArrayLists are there. You use them if you want to be able to change the size. They act a lot like lists, but use methods instead of square brackets. And we'll probably come back and see them occasionally through the rest of the semester to solve a problem here and a problem there. But I want to spend the rest of today sort of talking a little bit about what's coming next. Prepare you for the next topic. There are sort of two big new ideas we introduce in the semester. One is writing your own methods, and one is writing your own classes. And we're going to do one of them next week, writing your own methods. We'll do the other one the week after spring break, writing your own classes. And so let me try to prepare you and help you succeed in this endeavor. So the first thing I would suggest is actually read the chapter on methods before class on Monday. It's not a long chapter. There's not a lot of concepts and methods, but they're new to most people. And it's useful to have multiple exposures from different sources. So we will talk about them Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. But it's useful if you come in having already read the chapter. So I'd strongly encourage you to read the chapter on methods from the textbook. And actually, like, look at the pages, all of the words, right? I would encourage you to do that with Eclipse open and try out the code samples as you go, although you don't have to do that. But let me try to give you a little context of what's happening. We've been using methods all semester. anywhere we have a something with parentheses after it, we use the method. So dot length is a method, char at is a method, println is a method. Okay, what does that mean? The goal of a method is to, it's, I guess you could call it a shortcut. It's a simplification. It's a named set of operations. When I tell Java to println, it goes and does whatever we defined println as. It doesn't save Java any work to write println instead of to write out all of the individual pieces of code that are under the hood to make println happen. But it saves us work when we're writing the code, because instead of saying, put this character in this spot in the console and put this character in this spot in the console for every single character in the string, we can just say println. And it saves us a lot of effort coding. Because that happens a lot, we write a method to describe it. Similarly, for adding to a list and for seeing if something contains something and so on. Even though some of these, like contains, are very easy, it's four lines of code to write contains, it's still nice to have a name for it. So we've been using methods all semester. What's going to change is we're going to start writing our own. And we've actually been writing our own methods all semester too. Main is a method. A method you can think of as like the definition of a recipe or a how-to guide. Main is how to do the main thing, how to run the program. Okay? We're going to start writing other methods. But this main here just means how to do the main thing. We could now, starting Monday, we'll start saying how to do other things. We're going to name other operations that we can do, give them names, and then we can invoke them the same way we can invoke things like length. Okay? Keeping straight the difference between defining, describing how to do something, and invoking, actually doing it, is one of the things that will trip up people a lot when they first look at this. Okay? So when I define a method, nothing is happening. I'm only describing what should happen. It actually happens when I invoke it, when I use it. So the definition doesn't do anything. It describes how to do something if somebody asks me to later. The invocation actually does it. To help make this make more sense, let's take an example from English. How to fry an egg. Turns out there are exactly two steps in frying an egg. You may have thought there were more, but there's only two. You crack the egg and you add heat. Ta-da! Fried egg. Okay? Now, when I describe how to fry an egg, did any eggs get fried? Nothing. No eggs got cracked. No eggs got heat added. I just told you how to do it. If you want to actually do it, we're going to have to invoke the method. Right? Fry. And when I invoke the method, there's one more thing I have to give you, which is the actual egg I want you to fry. Right? It is not possible to go fry an egg for the abstract an egg. I have to give you a real egg to fry. You can't crack the concept of an egg. You only crack an actual egg. And you can crack different eggs every time you fry, right? So I give you a duck egg, and you could fry that. I could give you a chicken egg, you could fry that, and so on. Okay? Each time you go to do the method, in the method definition, we have this idea of the egg. The egg will be a different egg every time we run the method. Which one will it be? It'll be whichever one we happen to give fry that time around. So methods can be used over and over again. And each time they're used, they might be used for a different argument. So in Java, we call this the egg a parameter. We call this duck egg an argument, which may seem like strange words. They probably are strange words. They come to us from the world of mathematics, and we just keep using them. Speaking of the world of mathematics, there's another version of this that you may have seen in mathematics. When I say f of x equals 2 times x, okay? In math, I have defined a function, which is much like a method. When I later say f of 3, I have invoked the function. Okay? The invocation can be used many times. I can talk about, for example, f of 3 plus f of 2, which is going to be 10, I believe. Yes?
Can you
Okay? So the invocation, where we put a real number in there, is distinct from the definition, where we use a variable to describe what's happening. So next week we'll explore how this works in Java. Initially it'll be pretty simple. I've pretty much told you everything we're going to talk about next week at a very high level right now. But we're going to find there's some interesting side effects to this. Some interesting things that happen. For example, I said main is a method. That means I am allowed to say play with lists.main args. I'm allowed to invoke this method I've just defined. Okay? It's a method. I defined it. I can use it because I know what it means. But if I were to actually, Java thinks this is fine until you run it. And when you run it, you will get so many error messages it is almost impossible to count them. Okay? We'll talk about why this is happening. We'll look at this in a little bit of detail on Friday, probably. Okay? But there are some interesting gotchas about the way Java interprets a method. Okay? So we'll see some of those. We'll try to make this make sense. But it's important as we go along to always bear in mind the distinction between a how-to and an actual go-do. The distinction between the formal parameter, the idea of an egg, versus an actual egg that you're being handed. So I'd encourage you to go and read the textbook, to work through a little bit on Java, try to keep those ideas clean, and then when we come back on Monday, we'll be able to ace this topic, and you will go forward able to conquer the world. Thank you all.